The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Netflix is facing a backlash because the voice of actor Gene Wilder has been recreated using AI for a new Willy Wonka-themed competition show. Wilder died in 2016 at the age of 83. He can be heard in the teaser clip for the show, and Netflix says it's going to use AI to recreate his voice right throughout that new programme. And joining me to discuss this is film reviewer Cara O'Doherty. Cara, you're very welcome to the programme. Do you know what? Maybe we might hear the clip so we get a sense of what we're talking about. This is the AI-generated voice of Gene Wilder.
A whole new generation of real-life golden ticket holders will compete for a life-changing prize.
So his estate and his widow have said this is okay to do this. So why is there an issue?
His wife, his estate, they've given full approval for this. I think it's the fact, there's two things to this. Gene Wilder was really against commercialization of his work and particularly of Willy Wonka. He was very vocal about the 2005 Johnny Depp outing redo of the film. He came out and said this is purely a cash grab. He didn't like anything like this. So it kind of goes against everything that he believed in. Now, you can say it may be his wife, maybe he said something in later years, but I think it is quite difficult when somebody pointedly said, I don't like commercialization. Mm-hmm. And this is very much a cash grab again. The other thing as well is the fact that if you start using AI voices to recreate, you're losing so much of who a person was. Even if he was alive today and doing this, his voice would not sound like it did when he made the film in the 1970s. He would sound like a much older man. So you're taking away sort of the truth of who he was. But the other thing is, if you start doing this, what's next? And also, where does the next Wonka actor come from? I mean, we saw Timothy Chalamet's lovely version of the kind of prequel story. But if we start bringing back actors who are no longer here, where's the next generation of actors come from?
So then the show itself that they're making, the Netflix show, what is it? Is it like Squid Game?
It looks like that. They haven't said a huge amount other than the contestants will go into a kind of a chocolate factory and they will have various trials and tribulations and either find a golden ticket, they haven't said, but I'm sure the golden ticket's in there, or, I don't know, make their way to the other side. And presumably there will be things that will go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like in Wonka, obviously nobody's going to turn purple and explode.
But hope. Netflix hopes that won't happen.
But I'm sure they have a few tricks up their sleeve to replicate mm-hmm. that idea.
So in terms of the voice, then, this isn't the first time that this has happened. There's precedent.
James Earl Jones, his voice was recreated for Darth Vader. In a way, I can almost see how that is. I mean, Darth Vader, I'll get into trouble for saying this, Darth Vader is an alien species. It's not reality as such. And it was a very defined voice. Also, he was used to just recreate a few different kind of snippets. So it's not really the
same. In the context of the work that he had done. Whereas this is pushing the boundary a little bit.
Yeah.
You're having Gene Wilder do a game show.
Yes. And the thing is as well, they're not saying the company who are doing the voice work. It's called 11. I'm going to get its name wrong now. 11. Oh, it's gone.
Don't worry.
Anyway, 11 Labs. 11 Labs. So the whole thing this company does is recreate. They haven't confirmed whether they're using archival material and kind of snipping out words that he said in the past to recreate full sentences, or whether this is a full read. Kind of basically getting a machine to talk mm-hmm. like him. I mean, it's when you think about it, I mean, maybe it's, you know, it could be great. You know, a couple of years time, Claire, you want the morning off. You get the AI to do the show for you.
We'd never get away with it here with our listeners. They'd know straight away. There are others, though, who have willingly signed up to this, like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I really think the Bruce Willis thing is very morally ambiguous. We know that he is very unwell. And his image was used and the family have signed the rights. And I would question asking or getting somebody to sign over their rights when they're not well. I mean, how much is that pressure from the family? How much if that is him wanting to do it?
Mm-hmm. If you have power of attorney for that individual, you can essentially,
yeah,
you can make that decision.
You can. And I think it's a grey area. But then you look like Matthew McConaughey is an interesting one. He was very vocal about AI when Hollywood started getting panicky and he didn't want to be part of this. At first, that he trademarked his iconic, all right, all right, all right. That was the first thing he did. Because that's him. He didn't want anybody else being able to use it or say it like he does. But now he has licensed his voice to AI, and his take on it, he's trying to take control of the situation. Mm-hmm. If it's going to happen, he wants that.
It's a real dilemma, isn't it, for these big actors and very recognisable voices. And you said there was a panic in Hollywood. There have been lots of campaigns around this. So it's far from being resolved, is
it? I mean, it's the biggest talking point in Hollywood right now. I think a lot of people were very shocked to hear that Michael Caine, he gave his voice over, and his AI voice has done an audiobook of The Odyssey. And you think, right, The Odyssey, that's great. I'd love to listen to Michael Caine and his great tones doing that. But you're not listening to him. You're listening to a robot while Michael Caine was potentially sitting on a beach watching the money roll in. I mean, things like that. It's look at James Dean, Laurence Olivier and Judy Garland. Their estates have signed over not just their voices, but their image for AI rights. And these are people who lived and died before this format even existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really... Like, you can say...
I suppose ultimately, Cara, it's going to be up to us as consumers, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, how we respond to this. Like, I listen to New York Times articles, which are read by a computer-generated voice. And the first few times I did it, I felt, oh, this is a bit weird. And I reminded myself last night as I was listening to the one about Donald Trump's alleged interference into the red card given to the US football player, that it doesn't bother me anymore. I'm used to it now. I accept it now. And maybe that's how it'll be in a few years' time.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard of AI, I immediately thought of Terminator. We're all going to die. The robots are going to take over. And that's the end of it. But I am seeing its benefits. We can see that it's doing great things in medical terms and for people who have had vocal issues, or, you know, that they're recreating their voice so that they can communicate. So there are some benefits. But it's just, where does it end? And if they're talking about bringing back actors who passed away 50, 60 years ago and getting them to recreate performances, the whole thing about acting at the end of the day is the truth within a person. Whether it's a comedy or the most serious of drama, it's the lived experience that allows an actor to portray something.
Well, it's going to have to be another line in your will if you're a performer, isn't it? This is what I want to happen with my voice or not happen with my voice.
Yeah.
Because the whole problem with the Gene Wilder situation is that we don't know what his wishes were in this regard. His family have decided that he would have been happy with this, or that they're certainly happy with it, but we don't know what he thinks.
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at Val Kilmer, he got to come back. He was sick for a long time. He got to come back in the last Top Gun, and his voice was recreated, used because he had throat cancer and he couldn't speak. And that was quite a beautiful scene. This for anybody who was particularly a fan of the first Top Gun, to see himself and Tom Cruise come back together. They had this lovely scene and his voice worked because of technology. But now he will, later this year, there's a film coming out that he is in that was first interrupted by COVID, and then unfortunately he died. So he didn't get to film any of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But his family said he wanted this thing made. So the film is coming out and it's entirely AI him. Now, it is a bit of a supernatural historical drama. There's a bit of everything going on. So in it, he's playing some kind of spirit, and we see him as an old man and a young man and in present day.
So it probably works in that context.
But at the same time, none of that's real. It's all a computer that's decided what he would have done as an actor.
But you'll remember back when CGI first became mainstream and people were uncomfortable with it. And now, look, we just accept it.
I know. But even at that, it's gone too far at times as well. So, like, we can already see the consequences of relying too heavily on CGI.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point when it was being used responsibly and effectively, and then people lost their minds and started just going wild with it. And that's only in a few short years. So imagine what people can do in 5-10 years.
And the director, Peter Jackson, he says, oh, I want to use AI, but I want to do it responsibly. Now, Peter Jackson's responsibly might be irresponsible in somebody else's judgment.
Yeah, I adore Peter Jackson. The Lord of the Rings is my favourite thing on the planet. And I was quite stunned when he said that. And then I had to take a moment and think, the reason that CGI is as good as it is because of the technological leaps that he took, and the brave steps with the Lord of the Rings franchise. I mean, what he did was groundbreaking. But he also was very aware of knowing when to use actors, when to use real life sets versus green screen. So when he said that, my first thought was like, oh, But then I trusted him 25 years ago, and I would trust him to know how to do this again responsibly. But as much as I love Peter Jackson, and I hate to say it, he only has a few years left in the filmmaking game unless he uses an AI to continue his legacy, which he might. So what happens after him when people see what he did responsibly and like CGI now start going mad with it?
Well, let's see what Netflix do with Gene Wilder and his voice, although it sounds a bit cheap and nasty, I have to say.
I'm very uncomfortable by the whole by it.
Let's see what happens.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.